Well, I hope you didn't freeze to death coming in this morning. They tell me the wind chill factor was 25 to 27. And 2 weeks in a row, we've got frost on our roof. What are we going to do here in Florida? We're going to have our northerners quit coming down. Keeps getting this cold. I told someone, just wait until noon. It'll be 70 degrees. You're here in Florida. It sure is good having a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Dave Perdue and his wife Debbie with us, and they're down from Delaware, and glad to have them with us today, and some of my very good friends. I appreciate them, appreciate their ministry, and Pastor Dave is like what I was for many years, a music pastor, and he took a church there in Delaware, and his family and our family go back a long ways together. We did a lot of music and singing together, and we're just delighted to have them today. I was telling Pastor Perdue that we had another pastor, Pastor Tracy Roby, in the first service from Kansas City, and these guys are coming down to get out of the cold. I don't blame you. So I blame them for the cold weather that we have today. If you would turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation, and as you saw the video today, and as you know, we've been promoting it for many weeks concerning our theme this year of understanding prophecy. The book of Revelation was probably written during the reign of the Roman Emperor Domitian, about AD 95. And the emperor had demanded that public worship would be rendered to himself, that they were to come to worship him as their Lord and their God. Christians at that period of time refused to obey, and the second great wave of persecution against the church was launched during that period of history. The Christians were subject to public ridicule, to economic boycott, to imprisonment, to exile, and many of them gave their lives for the cause of Christ because they loved the Lord, took their stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. As early Christians began to read John's revelation, the Apostle John's revelation, they could see a dimension revealed that they had never seen before, and that is that they realized that God is still on the throne. And that was a great encouragement to them to realize in the face of persecution that God was still on the throne. Well, I'm telling you, we're facing some difficult days today, and we're going to face some more difficult days in the days to come. If you think that this world is going to get better and better, you're wrong, friend, because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that there are going to be difficult days that will come. And we're all deeply concerned of what's going on in our country and in the world. All eyes are on, in reality, all eyes of the world are on this physical cliff that everybody's talking about, whether we're going to fall off this cliff or not. And everybody seems to be very concerned about that. But I want to remind you, as those early Christians that were facing persecution, I want to remind you that our God is still on the throne. Amen. We don't have to fall apart like the world falls apart and to worry about all these things, because our God knows what's going on. And people come along and they say, well, I have difficulty of understanding Revelation. But God did not give the revelation to hide the truth, but he gave it to us to reveal the truth. And so over the next many Sundays throughout this coming year, we're going to be preaching from this book. We felt like we need to get started on it today because we've got a lot of sermons to cover. And rather than giving a year-end message or another Christmas message, we wanted to get started in the book of Revelation. So we give an introduction today of the unveiling of the future. The sainted Apostle John, he wrote 5 books in the Bible. And the Gospel of John, he presents Christ as the Savior. The epistles of John presents Christ as the Son. And the revelation of John presents Christ the Sovereign. And so John wrote the Gospel to convert the sinners. He wrote the epistles to confirm the saint, and he wrote the Revelation to comfort the sufferer. And so the book of Revelation, as you view this and you study it, you've got to understand that it is different for the saint than it is for the sinner. When I say the sinner, I'm talking about a person who has so far rejected God or rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it's different because I would tell you, for the sinner, the book of Revelation is a book of vengeance, but for the saint, praise God, it's a book of victory. For the sinner, it is a book of judgment, but for the saint, it is a book of joy. And it can bring us great joy as we study this book. And so as Christians, what a marvelous thing that we have an opportunity to be able to read and to study this book of Revelation. I heard about a little boy that was given the opportunity to be able to choose a puppy for himself out of a litter of puppies. And so his excited eyes fell upon those little puppies, and he looked down and he saw one that was furiously wagging his tail, and the little boy pointed. He said, "I want the one with a happy ending." Well, I'm going to tell you, this story that we're going to be talking about, we're going to face a lot of difficult things that we're going to be talking about that's going to be going on in this world. But praise God, I can tell you it has a happy ending for those who know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Three things of inspiration John gives to us in our opening verses here in this book, verses 1 through 6. And the first thing is the function unveiled. You've got to understand that the book of Revelation is an unveiling. Some years ago, the city of Chicago was given an original sculpture of Picasso to adorn the plaza outside of the new city hall. And as the statue was being erected, they had it heavily screened around to where no one could see exactly what it was. Many passers-by would come and they would try to view what was behind the screen there. But finally the day came, and when Mayor Daley unveiled the statue, and to everybody's astonishment as they gazed there in Chicago and reality around the world, because there stood in all of its glory Chicago's own gigantic Picasso. And my friend, what Mayor Daley did for Chicago when he unveiled that statue there that day, the book of Revelation will do for us as we look and see the unveiling. John reveals the subject of the book, the revelation of Jesus Christ, you'll find there in verse 1. And I'm asking you today, as we study through this book, don't get all wrapped up in the numbers and the marks and the trumpets and the wars and the plagues in this book, because the revelation is not primarily about what is going to happen, my friend, but it is about the significant one who is to come. That's what the book is about. That's what we're going to be talking about, along with all these other things, but that is a significant thing that we need to remember. When you've got to understand, when Jesus came the first time, that the glory of Jesus was veiled. When Jesus left the heaven, he set aside all of his majestic glory in order to be able to come down here and dwell among us as men. And he came as a man. But when Jesus comes again, praise God, he is presented in all of his glory and all of his grandeur and all of his greatness. And that's the time that we like to think about and we will be projecting toward as we study these scriptures. When he came the first time, that we know that he came in a cradle, but the second time he comes, he will be given a crown. I would tell you that the first time that he came, the Jews rejected him and saw him as a criminal. But my friend, when he comes the next time, all the Jews will receive him as the Christ. They'll know that he is the Christ. Jesus Christ is the object of this book. But also John reveals the source of the book. It says there in the scripture, which God gave. Now, God did not give John the revelation primarily, But rather, he inspired John to record the revelation that he gave to his son. And that is why we can rest assured that this book is true. God is the source of revelation. You say, well, John wrote the book, but I want you to know that God is the author of the book. He used John as a human instrument in order to write it. But we find that John also reveals the students of the book when he says, to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. Now, all these things that we find recorded here in Revelation will only be revealed, the Bible says here, to his servants. The truth of the matter is, that should be translated as bond slaves. In reality, we're bond slaves is what we are. We're slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's going to only be revealed to those who are under the lordship of Jesus. Only if you know Jesus Christ and are totally submitted to the purpose of Christ will you be able to understand this book. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you're not born again, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm here to tell you, you're not going to understand the book of Revelation. But the truth of the matter is, you're not going to understand any other books of the Bible either. You're not born again. Paul even talked about that when he said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so you cannot see God because you are spiritually blind, and you will not hear God because you are spiritually deaf. It just won't transpire. Because you see, divine truth is hidden from the worldly wise, those that are out there. And so the unbelieving skeptic finds this book of Revelation nothing more than a book of chaos and confusion. That's the way they see it. Those that come along and say, well, you know, I don't agree with the Bible and don't understand the Bible, certainly they're not going to understand the Bible. Certainly they're going to see the book of Revelation as chaos and confusion because they don't know the author of the book. And so, but God's servants are going to be shown, as the Bible says, things that must shortly come to pass. And so we see the unveiling of the prophetic truth about the future world, John reveals to us. John also reveals the symbolism of the book. And it says, and he sent and signified it by his angel. Now, this book is explained by signs and symbols. But these signs and symbols can be understood by referring back to the Old Testament, and not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament up to the book of Revelation. There are over 300 references that are given in the book of Revelation, 300 references from the Old Testament that you'll find recorded there in the book of Revelation. And it's hard to understand, hear me, it's hard to understand the New Testament without a grasp of the Old Testament. It's so very important. People say, well, we don't need the Old Testament today. We have the New Testament. No, we need the Old Testament. We need the Old Testament to be able to understand the New Testament. And remember that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. That's the best commentary. And so since this book is a book of signs and symbols, do we interpret this book literally or do we interpret symbolically? Well, the answer to that question is yes. We will interpret this book literally when the literal sense makes good sense, and when we come to a passage to be interpreted symbolically, remember that even the symbolic language gives literal truth, which we are to literally believe. To give you an example of that would be when Jesus on one occasion said, I am the door. Now, we know that literally, that Jesus literally is not a door, but the literal truth is Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he is alive, and he is the door that opens us up into heaven. There's no way that you're going to get into heaven except through that door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so John conveys the function of Revelation here when he talks about in verse 2, unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now the second thing that should inspire us, and John tells us, that he goes on to talk about the fruit unveiled. There in verse 3 it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That's our theme verse this coming year that we're going to use all year long, for the time is at hand. I believe that the time is at hand, amen? But you know what? There have been those who, down through the history of time, that felt like the time was at hand. When Islam first came on the scene, many, many years ago, there were those that were preachers of the gospel that felt like the time was at hand. We come up to in the 20th century, and we find when Hitler and Mussolini and different ones that came on the scene and they were ruthless and hateful and wicked, there were many preachers, even my grandfather being one that preached that the time is at hand. Well, we're living in a wicked day and time. More things have transpired. I would tell you, during those periods of time, Israel had not even become a nation at that point again. And so we know that these things have transpired, and we're getting closer and closer to this time that is as at hand. We cannot set a date. These people come along and set dates. That's not for us to do. We don't know the exact day. I believe that we can know that we're living in these times, and certainly I believe that we are living in these times, but we find that talking about the fruit revealed here, our theme this coming year is Understanding Prophecy 2013. And we all want God's blessings on our life, amen? Is there anybody here that doesn't want God's blessing on your life? I don't think there's anybody here like that. And if there is, then you're just a crazy fool. You know, if you don't want God's blessing on your life. We all want God's blessing on our life. And it is my prayer that this coming year that you will be blessed in the year of 2013. God says that if we'll be faithful in our living by putting God first and others second and ourselves last, and in our giving, being faithful to give a tenth as God has commanded us to do by tithing unto the Lord and helping others, and in our understanding of studying the book of Revelation here. He is going to bless you. He said that he would. The same way that you trusted God for salvation, can you not trust God in your living and in your giving and of your understanding of the word of God here? And there is a threefold promise of blessing that we find to those who properly read and understand this book. First of all, blessing comes to those who honor the book. It says, blessed is he that readeth the words of the prophecy. Now, in the early church days, writing materials was not only expensive, but it was scarce. And so there were only so many copies of books that were part of the biblical canon. And as a result of that, as a rule, there was normally maybe just one copy per Christian assembly. And they weren't blessed like you and I. What a blessing it is here in America that we can sit here in God's house with everybody a Bible sitting in their lap to be able to enjoy the Word of God. But, you know, there's not every place in the world even has that today, that they have the Word of God. And so we're blessed and we thank the Lord for it. But during this period of time, they didn't have that. And so one person, as they would have one copy among their Christian assembly there, one person would stand up and they would read the word for all to hear. Now, I've read the word to you today. I'm reading the word to you as we look here in the book of Revelation. I'm reading this word to you. And one of the reasons why that I love to preach from the book of Revelation is that God has promised to bless me if I read it and preach it to you. And so I'm looking for a big blessing this year. And I know that God will bless. He promises that he will. And so, but God has commanded me as your pastor to read the word of God to you. But I want you to know that I really do get a blessing out of preaching God's holy, wonderful, infallible word. Pastor Perdue is here today, and he would testify to the fact he and I are called preachers of the word, and there's something about it, Dave. You and I have to admit that we love being able to preach the word. There's a joy there that nothing else can give when we preach the word of God. And it's a great joy to be able to, and a great privilege to be able to preach the word of God. And so there's a blessing to those who honor the book. And also there's a blessing to those that hear the book. It says here, blessed is he that hears the word of this prophecy. Now this is a promise from God. If you will come every Sunday here in the year of 2013 to hear the preaching on Revelation, I want you to know God is going to bless you. Every time you come, you're going to be blessed from hearing the book of Revelation and of the things that are to come. There's something edifying by just letting the word of God get into your ear, to get into your head, and to get into your heart. There's something that just brings contentment and joy to us as Christians. But in all of that, we find also a blessing to those that heed the book. Not only honor it and hear it, but they heed the book. It says, blessed is he that keeps those things which are written therein. I want you to know that this book is not just a prophetical book, but it is also a practical book. Because you remember this truth, prophetic doctrine and practical duty goes hand in hand together. That's important for you to understand that this morning. It cannot be separated, because I would tell you that as if God tarries his coming and we approach the end of next year, God lets us live, and we finish the book of Revelation, my friend, if you have not moved any closer to worship of God and work for God Almighty, then, my friend, you have missed the real meaning of this whole book. Because you see, when we finish, your head should not be in the clouds of prophecy, but your feet should be on the pavement of soul winning. That's what it's all about. The thing that we're concerned about is when we've read this book of Revelation, we've studied this book of Revelation, we need to be busy about telling people that Jesus is coming soon. That ought to be our message everywhere we go, that Jesus is coming soon. But when we can expect, as we read this, we can expect to receive the fruit of God's blessings as we study and as we obey the book of Revelation. It brings me to my last point here that John inspires us with, is the focus unveiled. In verses 4 and 5, John gives a greeting from the Holy Trinity. There is a greeting from God the Father when it says, him which is and which was and which is to come. There is a greeting from God the Spirit when the Bible says, from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And of course, that number seven represents completeness, our perfection, thus a reference to God's perfect Holy Spirit. And then there is a greeting from God the Son when it says, from Jesus Christ. Now, normally you'll notice that God the Son is in the middle. In fact, as you look at the Great Commission and other places of the Bible, you'll know that it talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But this is one time, it is the only time in the Bible where the Trinity is mentioned with Jesus as being last. It's the only time. And I believe that the reason is that Jesus holds a position of honor in this book given to him by God the Father and attested by God the Holy Spirit. And so John goes on, he puts Jesus last here because he goes on to focus on some wonderful information about our Lord who is unveiled and revealed in this book. And we're going to conclude with this, our focus, unveiled focus of Jesus Christ as our last point today. I want you to see some things about our the precious Son of God. Jesus is the reliable Lord. The Bible says Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. And so what did Jesus come to witness to? Well, we don't have to wonder about that, because he told us why he came in John chapter 18, when he said, "To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth." Now, Jesus came into this world to bear witness to the truth. And we all know that the Bible tells us that the truth will set you free. It will set you free. Many of you here today have been set free by the Word of God. But I would tell you, Jesus told the truth when he came. He told the truth about sin. He told the truth about society. He told the truth about the Scripture, and he told the truth about salvation. We don't have to be left to wonder about how that we can get heaven as our home. If people would just read the Word of God, of what Jesus had to say, they'd know the truth about how to get to heaven, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus tells us. That's what the Word of God tells us. And the reason that Jesus could bear witness of the truth is because he is the truth. And so, my friend, Jesus is the reliable Lord. Jesus is the resurrected Lord. It says Jesus Christ, who is the begotten of the dead. Now, this refers to the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't the first raised from the dead. We know that, even as we read the Word of God. But he is the first to be raised from the dead that never died again. And there is only one true empty grave in all of this world, my friend. And it is in Jerusalem, and it was rented only for 3 days by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, praise God, it was vacated forever. The revelation is not to be a commemoration for a dead Savior, my friend, but it is the celebration of a risen Lord. And so I would say to you today that Jesus is a reliable Lord, and that he is the resurrected Lord, and also that he is the ruling Lord. You'll find Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of the kings of the earth. Now, we all know that Jesus rules today invisibly in the hearts of his subjects. We understand that, but one day I'm here to tell you that he's going to rule this entire world. That's what the Bible tells us. Every event that you read about in the book of Revelation is simply to move all of history toward that one great event that is going to transpire, that is recorded in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, that says, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Amen. Man, that's the end result right there, my friend, that he's going to reign and rule over this world. So Jesus is the ruling Lord, and you'll find that Jesus is also the redeeming Lord. Our redeeming Lord has done 3 things for us that we ought to shout it from the rooftops about. First of all, Jesus loved us. Aren't you thankful for that? We're unlovely. We didn't deserve his love, but he loved us. Jesus Christ, him that loved, the Bible says. He always has loved us. He always will love us. Jesus loved you when he died for you on the cross of Calvary. And my friend, he loves you when he saves you. If today is your day of salvation, I want you to know he loves you today, and Jesus will save you from your sin. Jesus loves you enough to take you to heaven. And I would say a sinner may go to hell unsaved, but he will never go to hell unloved. Because the Bible says God so loved the whole world. God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So Jesus loved us. Not only did he love us, but he loosed us. It says Jesus Christ washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus Christ came that he might free us from slavery. Now you say, well, wait just a minute, Pastor. I thought we were bond slaves of Jesus Christ. That's what you told us earlier. And that is true. But let me tell you that there is liberty in slavery if you have the right master. And I've got a wonderful master today. I'm a bond slave to Jesus Christ, but my friend, it's a joy to be a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our redeeming Lord has set us free from sin's penalty. And I want you to know that Jesus today, that he frees us from the power of sin. But praise God, one of these days he's going to free us from the presence of sin. What a glorious day that will be. I love the old song. If my voice wasn't so harsh from the cold, I'd sing it for you this morning. But I love that song, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace." But note the third verse. It says, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Man, that's powerful, is it not? I'm going to tell you, Jesus, praise God, he loved us and he loosed us. And then the Bible says that he lifted us. Jesus Christ made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Being kings refers to our reign with Christ. Because we are kings, we have authority with God. Because we are priests, we have access to God. And praise be to his holy name, my friend. We serve a redeeming Lord today. But last of all, I want you to see Jesus is the resplendent Lord. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The glory this world did not see on this earth. When Jesus was here the first time, one day the entire universe is going to see in all eternity. When Jesus comes, my friend, one of these days, he will rightfully assume his place over all of this creation as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords. His resplendent, radiant glory will permeate and it will dominate this universe forever and ever. And my friend, we will focus on him. Our focus will be only on him, no one else, our Redeemer, this one, this resplendent one, our precious Lord. Now, I want to close this sermon out with some words that John said back in verse 4. We're going to back up a little bit. I thought it would be a wonderful way to end this message today of these words in verse 4. I want you to notice there it says, "Grace be unto you and peace." This book deals primarily with judgment. We know that. We all know that. The flood tides of God's wrath, dammed back since Calvary, burst all their banks and pour forth in all their fury. We're going to read and we're going to study about this in the days to come. Yet you'll find God begins Revelation by telling men that we can have what we don't deserve. What is that? It's grace. We don't deserve it. Praise God for his grace. John sees a multitude of that of people that no one can number, men and women through the ages. I'm talking about undeserving sinners is what John sees, who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, all because of God's wonderful gift of grace. But not only is there grace, the Bible goes on and says there's peace as well. You notice those two words, grace and peace. This book, in reality, you think about it, it deals with just the opposite of peace. You look at it and it deals with bloodshed and war, and it tells of carnage and conflict and earthquake and famine and pestilence and woe. It tells of purges and persecution that dwarf all those of past history. thunders roll and stars fall from heaven and plagues issue up from the abyss. Demons take control of human affairs and armies are marshaled by countless millions of men. This is what we see in the book of Revelation. And yet God begins this book with this word of peace. It's amazing. It really is. With grace and peace. And even though we do not deserve peace on this earth, I'm glad that I can tell you today we can have peace in our hearts. Many of you that are sitting here today, you have peace in your heart. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." This world doesn't understand anything about peace. Oh, they keep on looking for peace. We almost get tired of hearing over in the Middle East where, you know, there's going to be another peace treaty. How many peace treaties have we had through the years? The different presidents that have come on the scene and gone off the scene, some more conservative, some more liberal, some Republican, some Democrat. They talk about peace in Israel. They do what they can to bring peace there. My friend, you and I know that there's not going to be peace in this world until the Prince of Peace comes. But I'm glad that we can have peace in our hearts. The Bible tells us that. And at the end of this book, praise God, the storm clouds roll away and the drums of war are stilled. And the earth itself, we know, will be purged by fire. And the Bible tells us that there comes forth, emerges a new heaven and a new earth. And friend, in which dwell righteousness and where there will be grace and peace. Praise God. Do you know Him today as your Lord and Savior? Don't you want to be a part of that redeemed multitude of crowd that John said that he saw that no man could number, that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Jesus has already paid the price for you, friend, on the cross of Calvary. It's what we celebrate Christmas all about. You say, well, it's all about, you know, the birth of Christ. No, in reality, it's all about the cross of Christ when He died and then He rose from the grave. Do you know Him today as your Lord and Savior? Have you put your faith and trust in Him? You know, in your church paper there, if you would take that paper, in your church paper, your little tab, pull that tab out. You're going to drop in the offering plate in just a moment. But you'll notice on the back side there, it has what we call the sinner's prayer. And there's never been a time in your life that you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You never received Him as your Lord. Today is the day for salvation. If you realize you're a sinner, you realize that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary. You need to pray this sinner's prayer today. Don't pray it to me. Don't pray it to your wife, your husband. You pray it to the Lord. You say, "Dear God, I know that I have sinned against you. I believe that your Son died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. I receive you as my Savior. I now give my heart and my life to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen." I hope you prayed that prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, you say, "Pastor, I prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to come into my heart today." Just as a testimony for what you did, would you slip up your hand today? Say, "I prayed that prayer and asked Jesus into my heart today." For you that are Christians here today, you say, "Pastor, I realize if God tarries His coming, lets me live, we're going to have another year of 2013. And I want to raise my hand as a commitment today that I want to live for God this coming year. I want to serve God to the best of my ability." Just with hands lifted up all over the congregation, I want to live for God the year of 2013 and serve Him this coming year. Thank you for those hands. You may put them down. Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer today. Thank You for Your goodness and Your blessings. Oh, what a great God You are. In the midst of all the turmoil and the war and the pestilence, all the heartache, the difficulty, we're so thankful, Lord, that there is grace and peace. Peace for those that will put their trust in Jesus Christ, accept that wonderful gift of grace. Now I pray, even though we had no one raise their hand today, if there be those that without Christ, I pray that today they would put their faith and trust in You. And Lord, I pray that even our altars would be full of those that would come today and say, "Lord, I pray that this coming year Lord, that you would bless us as we study the book of Revelation. But Lord, I realize that your blessing comes when we fully trust in that we serve you. And Lord, I pray that our altars would be full of those that would come and say, God, help me in the year of 2013 to live for you and to be the Christian that I should be. I pray that you'd bless now as we come to this time we invite people to come to the Savior. This time we invite people to come and pray at these altars for your help and for your blessing. And have your will and way. We'll give you all the honor and praise as the Holy Spirit leads upon each and every individual today. Well, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.